They say the world can be hard, cruel, and ugly. Trust me, it gets worse if your hunger and thirst doesn't push you from position last place to first. Can't build a foundation without having feet in the dirt. So I put in the work, grind harder than most. I don't chase accolades of the living, I'm facing a ghost. That's what makes me the GOAT. Depending on who you ask, my brother, whatever task, got it covered like a mask. Guaranteed they can't see me at the open run, cause I cook competitors until they look well done. Don't act like you don't know where I hail from. I had to climb up out the trenches, sit on benches till my time had come. Don't be mad at the player, be mad at the game. Sneak dissing and hating, that's a flag on the play. Me falling off, huh, that'll be the day. I'm like Bolt in the race, leave the track flambé. It's the open run.
As I rapidly approach the 1 year anniversary of my podcast, I start to think about why I did it in the first place and what would the metrics for success be. Like, how exactly do you measure success? I don't compare myself to anyone. Sunsets and flowers are pretty. They don't go around comparing themselves to one another. Sometimes you gotta stand alone and figure out how you wanna do it. And I still wonder, like, why am I doing this? While I do want to offer a voice that often is not given in this space, some critical thinking, and sometimes it doesn't fall into the more salacious TMZ world of sports broadcasting, the embrace debate stuff. I'm cool with that. But I wonder, like, what is this? You know, when people say, man, you need to trust your struggle, find victory in every loss. And I do. I'm not one to spend a lot of time Mary J. Blige-ing. I do reminisce a bit, but I don't live in my past. I'd be a sad person if I did. And so as we move forward, I want to welcome you to The Open Run with Will Strickland. That would be me. The Open Run with Will Strickland is brought to you by the fine folks at Press. We are press.net. I can be found across these rough interweb streets at W_Strickland and the number one on Twitter, Will Strickland and the number one on IG, and across all streaming platforms where podcasts can be found. The laws of physics do not allow you to claim you're moving forward with 1 foot constantly stuck in the past. Every time I say that to myself, I think of the song by Bill Withers, whose wife at the time, Denise Nicholas, and she's still fine in her 70s. I'm older now, I can say that. She was fine back then too. But anyway, Denise Nicholas wrote Bill Withers' song, Can We Pretend? I don't want to pretend, but I like the bars. Like, these are some of the greatest bars ever to me. The song goes, can we pretend that from now on, there is no yesterday? Paint a portrait of tomorrow with no colors from today. What? That might not be your thing. You might not be into that. But I really do believe that looking forward, we can't change what happened. It is what it is. No matter how much we cry and whine about it, we can't rewind it. We can't erase it. It is what it is. It is locked into history. And sometimes when I think about the things I missed out on in this life, or the things I feel like I've missed out on, at times I feel my soul is broken. The next couple of weeks for me are going to be serious transition weeks in my life, trying to manage a lot of things, a lot of moving parts, navigating what's necessary and what's not. I may hurt some people along the way. I may hurt myself. But at the end of the day, I know that you got to go through the rain to get to the rainbow. And so in celebrating life and celebrating the rainbow and celebrating the journey, I want to say happy born day to the great Sean Corey Carter. You might know him better as Jay-Z. I want to say happy birthday to the great Duval Clear. You might know him better as a friend of the program, the MC Master Ace. I want to send a shout out to my sis on her born day that passed just recently. All these people I'm naming are born on the same day. My homegirl, Timbisa Mshaka. If you watched the Wu-Tang American Saga, you heard him talk about Gavin. She was there at that time, along with my man Kelly Wu. You know, when we get that shout out on the Wu-Tang record, those guys were there. And Timbisa, just one of the best people I know. Hope she celebrated her born day in the best way possible. I think she just hit the big 5-0, so salute. Welcome to the club. My little cuz, Romeo, shout out to you, my man. I see you becoming the man you always wanted to be. I embrace that, I respect that, and I love it, love seeing it. Of course, the boy, 6:11 a.m. on that date, my life changed. So my soul can never be broken. I got too many people to help me put it back together. But some people in Michigan won't be able to ever put their lives back together. Young man who came to a school in Michigan, unloaded his weapon, killed 4 people, wounded so many others, and traumatized the entire community, entire school. For the first time in the history of these acts of domestic terrorism, especially from young people, have the parents been made liable for their actions. The parents felt that heat coming down on them. They decided to break out. You know, they weren't escaping. They just took $4,000 out of their ATM. And I'm trying to figure out, what the hell ATM can you get $4,000 out of? I got a limit on mine. Whatever the case is, got $4,000 out. They weren't fleeing. They were just going to vacation in an industrial building basement somewhere in Detroit. Somehow, someway, someone got a tip. And I don't know if they were in Detroit, if snitching is allowed in the hood, but someone allowed it and they were caught. And I don't know what the outcome is for this young man, for his parents, their responsibility. Obviously, they're responsible. But no amount of responsibility, no amount of apologizing, no amount of prayers and thoughts will bring back those people who lost their lives. We say change the gun laws. There are too many people on the side of, oh, this is too close to fascism. Well, kids can walk into a school and let the musket bust indiscriminately. But we're arguing about those rights. It's a tough sell. I get it. Maybe as tough as selling people on the idea there is no tampering in the NBA. Now, we know that no one can be traded in the NBA before December 15th, and that's coming up very, very soon, right up until the trade deadline in February. And during the summer, during the moratorium, it was found that the Miami Heat and their trade to get Kyle Lowry and the Chicago Bulls, one of the most surprising teams of this season, when they traded for Lonzo Ball out of New Orleans, have been found guilty of tampering. The charge would be vastly different than the charge for the child terrorist in Michigan and his parents. It was a fine of second round picks. That's like charging somebody for something fairly serious, I guess. Because they're not going to send those guys back to their original teams. With a traffic ticket for illegal parking. Sure, it's a pain in the ass and it's more of a minor inconvenience than anything else. But nobody really cares about that. Although there is value in second round picks. We talked about some of the greatest second round picks last week in the podcast. My man, Carlin Gay from NBA.com International. So what's the real penalty here? I mean, the Heat are going to do well, even though they have Bam Adebayo out for the next 6 to 8 weeks. How they're going to hold it down. I don't know if they want to play Kyle Lowry heavy minutes early on in the season. But the Bulls have a guy who was once called the King of the North. And I don't believe in loyalty in sports business and fans are funny. And I guess to some degree, I would say that Toronto Raptors fans are some of the most whiny fans in the league. But DeMar Darnell DeRozan was the quote-unquote most loyal Raptor. He was traded away. It hurt him. And I was one of the most vocal people in saying that when he went to San Antonio because of how tough the Western Conference was, that he would never be an all-star again. He would never be that guy again for any team. Ends up signing in Chicago and now is the King of the Fourth. Not the King of the North, the King of the Fourth, as in the fourth quarter, as he's the highest scoring player in the league during this time and is leading this team, this good mix of young veterans and guys who are kind of wayward toys in other teams. Lonzo Ball's on his third team in how many years? Zach LaVine is there. But DeMar Darnell DeRozan is playing at an all-NBA and, dare I say, MVP level. But shouts out to DeMar Darnell DeRozan leading the Chicago Bulls in the way he is. Going back out west, just thinking about my son's favorite movie. At least, I don't know if it's still his favorite movie, but when he was younger, and I remember during his high school graduation, we went out for something to eat after he graduated. He had some bottles of, empty bottles of, I don't know if it's ginger beer or root beer, one of the two. It's beer of the root variety or beer of the ginger variety. Either way, puts the bottles on his fingers and he's clinking them together and he says, Warriors, come out to play. If you ever watched the movie The Warriors, you'll see that. And the Warriors came out to play to snap the 18-game losing streak at the time held by the Phoenix Suns. Steph Curry, the presumptive first quarter season MVP, said, hey, yeah, we couldn't let them extend their streak on our floor. They destroyed the Suns. I mean, they got them on the back-to-back, and I get it. But what's the lesson that's learned in all this? Everything I've been saying, that we overthink some things sometimes, and we spend a lot of time worrying about what was instead of looking forward to what is. So sometimes in life, you got to lose your mind and come to your senses. Feel what's next. Enjoy it. Embrace it. Because we have more on the other side of this on The Open Run with Will Strickland. Do I find it so hard? Cut your radio up. When I know in my heart I'm letting you down every day. I'm letting you down every day.
Why do I keep on running away?
I'm done. We get it rocking. Yeah, man, it was great to see you as a new person. We're going to talk about that. I'm not going to read the room right now. I'm going to put it right in the podcast. So let's get it cracking.
Absolutely. Let's go.
Give me more of what you asked for. It's the Open Run with Will Strickland in conversation. My man, Andy McNamara, the Andy Mack Attack. What's going on, Andy?
Will, it's been too long, my friend. I missed our chats and all that. So great to see you. Great to be on with you.
Likewise, man. I really do appreciate it. And I know that it's clear that you might have an affinity for a certain football team
a little bit
in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to that in a minute for sure. But as I do with every guest on the podcast, I would love for you to run your resume. And we're going to talk about what we've done together as well. So, Andy, if you would, please run your resume, sir.
Yeah, well, geez, man. Start back in 2005. There's a lot of different roads that I've traveled. So, started in 2005 as a play-by-play guy for Durham College, which for those who don't know is about an hour east of Toronto, on what was then the new hot thing, Will. It was internet radio. Can you believe it?
Right.
Catch this internet thing, catching on. And so I was doing the play-by-play for men's and women's basketball and volleyball teams while working a full normal, you know, civilian job downtown Toronto, driving out, did that, won a couple of awards, moved on to do for Rogers TV, OHL, Ontario Hockey League, play-by-play on the TV side. The Toronto Rock followed after that, doing national broadcasts from traveling across Canada and the U.S. And
explain the Toronto Rock for people who don't know what the Toronto Rock is.
Great. Well, you know what? There's a hat right there. It's the National Lacrosse League and best lacrosse players in the world. And, Will, you know what? Honestly, for my money, if someone said, Andy, you could do one sport, we'll pay you $1 million to do play-by-play for, no matter what, I swear I would do lacrosse. It's the
really
most fun. It's the most fun.
Who's the greatest lacrosse player of all time?
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? You got to look at, I personally like Colin Doyle, but you got the Sanderson family. You certainly have Jimmy Veltman, who's up there.
Doesn't matter. His name is Jim Brown. His name is Jim Brown. That's it. Cleveland Brown. I feel bad that you didn't catch that, Mr. Cleveland Brown yourself. I feel bad.
You know what? I was thinking more on the professional side. Jim Brown, absolutely the best collegiate lacrosse player whoever out of Syracuse.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Imagine if there's a pro. Imagine, like, you see the old footage of Jim Brown. Imagine that guy with a stick in his hand and he could whack you with it. Good Lord.
I mean, I just want to tell you about want people to know about the Toronto Rock and what you were doing with lacrosse.
Yeah.
Like, this guy goes from hockey to lacrosse. Doesn't really matter. You're versatile like that. So I want you to continue with your resume.
Yeah, no, thank you. And no, it's a great point with the actually the dual athlete part with lacrosse and other sports. With hockey, you see a lot of crossover. A lot of NHLers played as well, Hall of Famers. Yeah, so I would do the Toronto Rock, but also got to travel internationally and do two world lacrosse championships for international TV over in Prague, Czech Republic, which was really cool. And I'll tell you, Will, they're not on the Euro there. So, like, I was driving, I was Ric Flair and styling it, man. I had limousine, and it was for like nothing. It was for like whatever the Czech, I forget what it's called, whatever the
money is.
For nothing. So I'm taking limos to the state. People are like, who the heck? Who's this guy? What's that? I'm meeting the finest, and it costs like nothing. So I was like, I was balling on a budget there. I'll tell you. It was great.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Living large.
All right.
That goes there. The football side, always been a big football fan, and actually started a podcast with our friend that we know, Carlin Gay, who's now killing it down working for NBA.com, managing editor, taking over the world down in North Carolina, doing a great job. And so we actually started together. He came on with Rogers TV around 2007, and we started doing a podcast on the CFL. We got picked up by CBC Sports, which led into TSN, which has the rights for CFL. That got me into the radio side, and from there, I was able to do the play-by-play radio for the Hamilton Tiger Cats of the Canadian Football League.
Wow. So
did that. Fantasy football writing took on from there, and from there, went to Sportsnet. Became the national fantasy sports analyst for across Canada, been hosting there, and now actually also doing UFF Sports, which is this whole, we need another show to talk about this, Will.
Okay.
Because this is, it involves cryptocurrency, NFTs, and the most complete fantasy sports, fantasy football side that you can think of. 53-man rosters, offensive line, salary cap, all sorts of stuff. And so that's Ultimate Franchise Fantasy Sports. So I'm head of football for that, and I'm starting Legends League. We're making our own video game. It's crazy. So that's, I'm sure I've forgotten some stuff that I've done, but it's like, in a nutshell, that's sort of it.
No, that's an incredible thing, man. And I love that you're flourishing. I appreciate, that I've gotten to know you along the way. As a matter of fact, from our time at TSN together doing game night. Also, we planned on doing a show together at one time called Pound the Rock. Remember that?
Yes. Oh.
I still have the audio from that.
Really? Oh,
that was cool. I'll send it to you after we're done here.
We did a demo for it. Absolutely.
Yeah. It was incredible. We never really followed through with that. But I think that's what's really important to point out about your career and what you've done is that you've done everything. You've been able to talk about basketball, football, baseball. And I wonder with this whole NFT thing and the cryptocurrency and fantasy football. Now, are you allowed to play in a fantasy football league yourself? Because that would be like insider trading.
Right. I'm not for the UFF sports side. I'm not. I'm the head. I'm sort of the overseer of the planning. And we did. Let me go back real quick. Well, we did through this side of it on UFF sports. I was able to host a live show from a Las Vegas studio from the Pro Football Hall of Fame for the Legends League last month. And the owners that we have in, this is like the high stakes fantasy sports, because we have Chris Carter and Michael Vick who own a team. Wow. Bud Crawford, Terrence Crawford, the welterweight champ who just fought.
Yes, sir.
A Circa Sports Circus Casino in Vegas. So we were staying at their hotel. I'm walking down with Eric Metcalf, who I have hosting the show with me, my childhood hero. So I'm the owner of the Circa, Derek Stevens, stopped us. He's like, hey, I like what you guys are doing. I'm in like the stadium swim, which is insane. If anybody goes to Vegas, it's crazy. Huge. It's awesome. So I'm in my bathing suit. I'm in a billionaire's office in my swim trunks, getting them signed up to buy a team. And we have teams that sold for over $60,000.
Right.
It's absolutely wild. So long story short, I can't play in it. But man, I'm so busy. I don't have time to play in that league anyway. So,
well, I definitely appreciate you giving me some time today.
Oh, yeah. Anytime.
And to kind of reminisce a little bit and talk about, I guess, some basketball stuff, if you have a second.
Absolutely. You know,
now we'll talk about the Raptors. Everyone in Toronto and maybe even across Canada believe that the Raptors would pick Gonzaga's Jalen Suggs in the Jalen draft this past year, the number four pick. However, they did not do that. They, as Carlin said, they zigged and everybody thought they would zag. As in Gonzaga. I like when he did that.
I like it.
And they picked Scotty Barnes out of Florida State. What do you think? Did the Raptors make the best pick for them?
You know what? Here's the thing with the Raptors. When you win a championship, you have some currency with the fan base. You have some currency with fans being able to think, okay, well, maybe that move didn't make sense to me, but I completely trust Masai Ujiri. Masai Ujiri could tell me the sky was green, and I'd be like, yep, guess it is, Masai. I'm going to believe you because you won me a title and you're building things the right way. So from a fan standpoint where it's, I wanted player X and they took player Y, all of a sudden now my mindset goes to, okay, why? When we have arguably the best front office, the smartest and most progressive front office in the league, why did that player, what did the coaches like? What did the front office like? What did Masai like? Why? And so I fully trust it. I just wanted to see how this plays out. And really, I think the Raptors are in an interesting stage because they're not in a playoff spot right now. They're not going to be a threat. It feels like a tweener year to me, Will. It feels like a year where it's like,
transition.
We're going to see, what does this youth give us? What does this core? And then hopefully, you make a big trade, free agent sign, whatever, and make that step. Because as we know, in the NBA, just takes one guy. Kawhi Leonard proved that. Big one guy.
And
the group of other guys, maybe.
You talked about Masai Ujiri on the podcast. We always say, in Masai, you must trust. And this is before everything. And if you look at the body of work, what he did in Denver to make Denver who they are right now, you have to remember, he moved Allen Iverson and Carmelo Anthony's contracts to get a second rounder in Nikola Jokic, the reigning and defending MVP. He got Jamal Murray with those picks. Like, all this stuff happened because of Masai. I mean, he didn't make those picks, but to have the currency you talked about, he's able to do that. Brought a new culture to Toronto that they never had before. Got rid of the contracts of Andrea Bargnani, re-signed Carlton Gay, re-signed Kyle Lowry, who was the first real serious all-star free agent to sign in Toronto.
Yep.
And that changed the whole tenor and temperature of this thing. And then took the guy who is arguably a top three MVP candidate right now, playing in Chicago, and DeMar DeRozan, and traded him, the most loyal Raptor ever, for Kawhi. So all these things, you have to trust Masai's insight, and it paid off because they won a championship. Now people will say, oh, well, they were, you know, the Warriors were injured.
So what?
Injuries have affected every single championship in the history of sport, period.
And Will, the Warriors won a championship when LeBron James dragged Dirty Deli, Matthew Dellavedova, when everybody else was banged up. And the Warriors won a championship. No one's complaining about that. It happens. You're right.
No one's complaining about how they took a guy who was arguably a top three MVP candidate every year for the past 8 years, and Kevin Wayne Durant, to a 73-9 team that lost LeBron. I'm sorry, you can't say his name on this podcast. I forgot to tell you that.
Oh.
He goes by the hashtag because of the emotions around his name.
Right.
The hashtag he who shan't be named.
He who shan't be named. I like it.
He who like shan't it. Be named, sir. But I mean, there are a lot of things there. And you make a great point. Like, people are going to argue that all day. But I do believe the Raptors made the best decision. I don't know if Oklahoma City Thunder, with two Canadians on their roster, and Lou Dort, and of course, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, made the right decision in losing the game recently with the largest margin of victory ever for a team. The Memphis Grizzlies beat them 152-79 in NBA regulation time. It wasn't like they didn't have to go. Obviously, they didn't go overtime with that score.
Heck of an OT.
But how do you, like, they had the ball boys, the guys who swap at the floor. They were playing. They scored a couple of points. They couldn't stop anyone. How does this happen?
It's so bizarre, and it just seems like, you know, in sports, sometimes you're just like, it's just one of those nights. And it just snowballed, and it was a train. I don't know how one of those nights happens to that degree. Mm-hmm. Like that, it must have just been the case where the guys just fully mailed it in. Like it's something we don't know. Like, mentally been like, you know, it's the second quarter. It's like, this is, I'm out.
Should we have a mercy rule?
No, I love when you see a team put the foot on the neck and just like, get. I don't like the mercy rule. Make a point. But if you do that, if you do make a point and you do put that foot on the proverbial throat and you push down, when it comes to your turn, it will happen.
It never happens with me when I play Uno. You know I'm the world Uno champion, right?
What? I just played Uno with my kids yesterday.
You don't want this smoke, Andy.
I lost. I'm not good.
Your kids don't want this smoke. Man, woman, or a child can get it. Yo soy el gran campeón del mundo de Uno. That's me.
A top Uno player. The top Uno man.
The greatest Uno player of all time, sir. That would be me.
Woo! We got to get you one of those championship rings I got up there. CustomFantasyRings.com.
Really?
Cheap plug. Yeah, man. Hey. That's my two-time fantasy football championship rings right there.
That's why it's insider trading if you play fantasy football.
That's right.
What is not a fantasy is the name change of one Mr. Enes Kanter Freedom. I don't know if you've been following this story. Enes Kanter, the Turkish basketball player, the center, backup center for the Boston Celtics, who recently changed his name to Freedom, became an American citizen.
Oh.
So I guess he's escaping some degree of persecution in Turkey because he's considered a criminal there by the government there.
Oh.
He still requires a great degree of security when it comes to Toronto to play in the lone NBA team outside of the United States.
Really?
He's trying to school LeBron James. See, I did it already.
Oh.
He who shan't be named.
He who shan't be named. Yes.
On civil rights and human rights.
Ooh.
And he's leaning so far toward, like, kind of courting these right-wing theories and wing nuts who
get a little espouse extreme. Certain,
yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's all but calling LeBron uneducated. I did it again.
Oh.
Calling this guy, he who shan't be named, uneducated. But at what cost for freedom? You know, I think that at the end of the day, his agenda was set that he wanted protections from the United States.
Right.
Because you can't let your citizens get taken by Turkey or whatever the case might be. So I think that was smart. Also, he's set himself up for his career after basketball. I'm not mad at what he's fighting for. I totally respect his views on human rights and civil rights, whatever the case might be. But to push your views and thoughts on other people and say they should do the same thing that you're doing, I think it's a little difficult for me to swallow.
You can get your message out, right? You can get the message out however you want for what the personal beliefs and what he's, I'm sure, I'm not too familiar with the story, but it sounds like from what he's been through, boy, the stories he would be able to tell. So I understand getting the message out, but you're right. When it comes to, like, if you don't think the same way I do, then you're wrong or you're bad or whatever. That never works in any sort of state, any sort of discussion.
It works in these days. It works in these days because we have platforms to do that, and we find enough people to follow that platform. I mean, the United States actually elected a guy as president who did that thing.
Yes, he did.
So we're talking about Enes Kanter freedom, the freedom to say what he wants to say, and we have the freedom to get some more time with Andy McNamara on the other side of this on the Open Run with Will Strickland. You're now listening to the sounds of the Open Run with Will Strickland in conversation with King Pancakin.
Yes.
Andy McNamara. Now, for those who don't know, Andy, what is Pancakin and why was it such a big thing with me and you back in the day?
You know what? So on TSN radio, it was, I believe, Will, it was around, we were talking about the National Exhibition, the Canadian National Exhibition, the CNE. Is that even around anymore? They might have canceled that. I don't know.
Since the pandemic probably.
Yeah. But it was like 100-year, for those who don't know, 100-year big fair, you know, kind of like your giant, huge fair. It'd been around 100 years. And one of the things every year was they would have this weird type of food that would just be terrible. They'd have like Mars bars deep fried with chocolate. And like
my son loves those.
Those are pretty good. I will give them that. But, there's like all these like deep fried, weird stuff. Like stuff like if you had it twice, you'd probably die, right?
Right.
And so we were talking on the air and you came up with this brilliant idea, which we never actually put into, I think it would have been a bestseller at the CNE, at the exhibition of Pancakin, which now you got the recipe there, Will, but I believe it was either, I think it was pancake wrapped in bacon with butter. There was like, it was like a whole.
No, it was actually bacon inside of a pancake.
Yes.
Right. And for those who don't know, Pancakin, the second K is silent.
Yes.
It is, because there are two K's in the name.
There are two. That was always my favorite part. The second, because then it makes it sound real. The second K is silent.
It's real. That. It is real, sir. But personal question, and you have every right not to answer this.
Yeah.
With everything going on with the pandemic, were you kind of forced to vaccinate because of your job and, of course, family and things of this nature? Or did you willingly, like, this is what we need to do to get better. I'm going to do that.
A bit of both. I had to, for, I was mentioning the UFF sports before. So being in Canada, we had two shows coming up that I had to do in the States to sell these franchises to, like I said, the casino owners, athletes and all that. So I had to get my butt down to America and down to Vegas. But by the way, when I went to Vegas in April, the pandemic never existed. I went down.
Right.
I felt like I was in a zombie movie. People coming up to me like shaking hands, no mask, like, ah, what are you getting?
It's Vegas. What goes in Vegas stays in Vegas. Woo!
I will say this. With how and when we were leaving, they're like, oh, the Delta variant's the highest there is in Vegas. I'm like, yeah, probably.
Probably.
So that was not a surprise. So I was double vaxxed before I went down. And I'll tell you this, two people who were on that trip who were not went to the hospital. I didn't get anything. So I was like, I don't know what's in it. I don't know how it's going to go long term. But for that, those two trips, it worked for me. So that's.
I'll tell you why it worked for you is because you are a long-time and long-suffering Cleveland Browns fan. You've been immunized and inoculated and taken care of in a way that no other, well, the Detroit Lions may.
Yeah.
Those fans, they might have that issue. But
I appreciate them. Yeah.
You know, you got some insulation there. And I want to know, how and when did you become a Cleveland Browns fan?
I'm third generation, actually, Will. So I was born into this. So how it worked in Toronto back, so my grandfather, when the Browns were formed back in the 40s, 1946, they were in the Toronto area. You could listen on the radio. You either caught the Cleveland Browns or the New York Giants. So you had two radio options. You wanted NFL? That's what you had. So he went with Paul Brown and the Browns. And when my dad was a kid, TV was in, and the two channels every week, you were either watching Jim Brown and the Cleveland Browns or the New York Giants. So he stayed with his dad and went with the Browns. And then I got, you know, what I have from there.
You sound so sad. It sounds so sad. I'm sorry, Andy.
I got Johnny Manziel. I got 30 quarterbacks, whatever the heck it is. I'm hoping my guy Baker can pull it out, man. I have too much of his stuff. Please.
Let me ask you a question about Johnny Manziel and actually Baker Mayfield. Is Baker Mayfield just a sober Johnny Manziel?
You know what? Baker, and I actually got to see Baker in person at Cleveland Browns training camp in 2019. Much deceptively bigger and thicker than Johnny was. I never got to meet Johnny, but guys who I know, reporter friends down there, they're like, Andy, man, he's like, you would look at him and you're like, oh,
this guy plays in the NFL. Yeah.
People would say, oh, bleep, this guy's, he's going to get killed. But Baker, he's thick. He's not necessarily tall, but he's between 6'6", 1". You know, would you like him to be taller? Sure. But I would say absolutely not. I think he's mechanically sounder. He's thicker. Dude's tough. Say what you want. Dude is tough. So I think their skill sets are totally different. The comparison, of course, came where it was like, oh, another brash QB, you know, he had the bandana, he got arrested, he speaks his mind and all that. And the only difference is he didn't try to go as Billy Manziel to Vegas with a blonde wig and a mustache. What a disaster.
No. Well, I want you to do me a favor, since you're a big football guy. I want you to take the skill positions on offense.
Okay.
So quarterback, running back, tight end, wide receiver. You get two wide receivers.
Okay.
And I want you to pick NBA guys to play each one of those positions for me.
Ooh. Okay. Can it be current, past? Do I got to?
Whatever you want.
Okay.
I would love for it to be current. Okay. But if you have to dig back into the past, so be it. I just like, if you're, you know what? It's fantasy basketball.
Basketball. I would watch that. I would watch like basketball, okay, but different. Yeah.
Let's
work it out. Well, we'll get it going. We'll get a league going with it. Yeah. I think for sure, tight end, LeBron James, the comparison's been made a ton before. Big box out guy. He's fat. He has the perfect tools of what a tight end today who gave up on college basketball and converted to football. So
right.
LeBron James right there. I would want, when it comes to quarterback, I think you need a point guard. You need the guy who's directing traffic. You need the guy who sees the floor because that's how you see the field. So I'm thinking maybe a Dwayne Wade.
Wade, not from a point guard standpoint.
Like a visual, like a mindset. You know what I mean? I'm thinking like he sees it. He's got the leadership. Like you need a leader of men. You don't need a star necessarily.
If I was to choose someone today from some of these younger guys, I would choose someone like Lonzo Ball, who like he has the brashness. Not Lonzo Ball, actually LaMelo Ball. But if I want to choose all time, like who's going to win for me, I'm taking Magic Johnson. He's 6'9". Why would I want? I want my quarterback to be able to see over the defensive line easily.
I want to make sure that delivery's not too long because the Giants had Mike Glennon, who's 6'8", and he takes 10 years to throw the damn ball.
He ain't Magic Johnson.
He's not Magic Johnson. You're right. Okay. I think you know what? If you look at from that mindset, yeah, like just somebody. A smart cerebral player, you know, a guy who's going to be a redistribute guy who's direct guy who, when you see on the court, is directing his teammates. That's what you want out of your quarterback.
If you want somebody who's Baker's size, take John Stockton, the all-time leader in assists in the NBA.
I like Stockton. You know, and if I'm looking at wide receivers, I think that's where you can get pretty broad because pretty much any star NBA player has speed. You know, you got the length. You got the height. I would think, obviously, if I want Michael Jordan on my team, I think in any sport.
Right.
I think Michael Jordan out of the slot because Mike, I don't necessarily want him outside to stretch. I think Michael Jordan, because he's so smart in it too, I think he could get that quick cut off the snap, get it, and then separate and maybe do that, you know, little shimmy step. I want a guy with footwork. I want some long guys, you know, maybe like, you know what? Maybe for a chain mover back, what about a Chris Bosh? A guy who, you know, you're going end zone. He might not outrun you, but you toss a little fade, so long, move the chains, you know?
I see the homage to the Toronto Raptors.
I like it.
Okay. I probably too like Scottie Pippen for that or Kevin Durant, somebody like that out there.
Durant would be good. You know what? I'm thinking running back too. How about Muggsy Bogues? Little scat back. You know what? Maybe do the you get Muggsy going out in the back. He's dipping, he's weaving, he's going all up. Maybe a little Muggsy for running back, a little scat. Who'd be a bulldozer? Well, who'd be like a guy like plow right there? You know what? What about Oakley?
Baron Davis.
Charles Oakley?
You know, a guy like Drew Holiday.
Holiday?
Yeah.
What about like Charles him. Barkley? Just Ooh, a bulldozer. Barkley. You need those old school 80s guys. Just go through
If you couldn't choose LeBron, I did it again. See? I'm messing with you, Mr. Cleveland.
Right.
You couldn't choose he who shan't be named as tight end. I would choose Barkley. Arguably the most unique player in NBA history. There's no guy 6'3.5", 6'4", leading the world in rebounding.
Right.
And dunking on 7-footers like that, like he did.
Yeah, he wanted it more.
He's one of the most unique basketball players who ever lived.
What would we do with Shaq? Is Shaq more tight end? Is he like...
Nah, he's more of an offensive lineman, though. Or no, he's a D lineman. He's a defensive end. He's Julius Peppers.
Just come through. I'm thinking because you want Shaq like
– Who's going to contain the edge?
Yeah.
With Shaq, look.
That's true.
Bludgeoning, yeah, it's Shaq out there. Wilt on the other end, it's over.
I want Oakley, though, somewhere. Charles Oakley is the meanest man I ever saw play. Like
defensive tackle. I saw Charles Oakley pull up in Toronto one time. In a Lamborghini, hopped out, dirty boots, dirty jeans, dirty everything. Didn't care. Lamborghini.
Guy's the best.
Hops out. And somebody owed him money.
That's a bad place.
Oakley's about that life.
That's a bad place.
He pulled up on a dude at this restaurant. Made the dude come outside and give him his money. If you don't know the stories about Oakley going in Toronto, when he was in Toronto, I think Jeff McInnes, who played the Cleveland Cavaliers at the time, they were on, it was Tyrone Hill.
Okay.
Right? So they were in practice. The Raptors shoot around, time was done. Oak walks into their practice, smacked Tyrone Hill during practice to get his money. You never heard that?
No.
Smacked Tyrone Hill up to get his money during their practice. Coach didn't say a word.
Didn't say a word. And he got it, I assume.
What? Security didn't do it. Coaches didn't say nothing to him. That's Oak. So you might want that guy on your defensive line for sure. But
somewhere,
since
we're
in Cleveland, to end it out, I would love for you to pick a starting five, all-time Cleveland Cavaliers starting five. Now, if you need help with that, I'm here with you.
I need help. I'll be honest. I don't, outside of the championship year, I support the Cleveland. I'm a Raptors guy, so I support Cleveland sports. I want them to do well. But I'd be lying if I said it was false. Yeah, you know, in some way, though, I want Dirty Deli. I want him as my, like...
Pick him! That's your team! Dude, pick the team you want. So Deli's your point guard.
I want Dellavedova just because he's a nasty bastard. He's just okay. He's great. He's nasty. Of course, the man who shan't be named. He who shan't be named.
He's your power forward. Or your small forward.
You know what? I was going to say Kevin Love, but man, that dude's just so broken down. I don't know. I don't think I want Kevin Love.
Well, who's the greatest power forward in Cleveland Cavaliers history? It's between Larry Nance and Kevin Love.
Yeah. And then Larry Nance Jr. was on the team too.
Yeah, but he wasn't his dad.
He's not his dad. He's not his pop. No.
And
Kyrie. Kyrie is the personality.
Let's say Kyrie's the two. Let Deli run the one. Let Kyrie be the killer to two.
Yeah.
LeBron the three. I did it again. He shan't be named the three.
Get Larry in there.
Kevin Love at the four.
Okay.
And who's your five? It's easily between Jonas Ilgauskas and
who?
I don't know.
Yeah. The thing I have to remember too.
Well, I'm playing myself. Brad Doherty.
Oh, Doherty. Okay.
You play with Mark Price. Mark Price would be my point guard, to tell you the truth.
Mark Price
is one of the most underrated point guards in NBA history.
He's a legend there too. Yeah.
He really is.
You get Mark Price. And the thing we have to remember too is like the Cavs were like, it's not like you had good players along the way, but they were bad for like a long time.
Bad until Kevin Johnson and Mark Price and the great Steve Kerr.
Yep, they pushed the Bulls for in that one year, right?
Yeah, but I mean, Craig Eaglo, Mike Saunders, Hot Rod Williams, those guys. I remember that team. After that, they weren't any good until his other kid from Akron, Ohio showed up.
Yeah.
We can't name the man on the screen with me right now, Andy McNamara. It's great having you on, sir. Let them know where they can find you online.
First of all, Will, anytime you want to come back, have me back on, I'm happy to do it. Absolutely love this. Miss this so much being on with you. You can get me on Twitter at AndyMC81. Any fantasy football questions, you use hashtag AskAndy, host the National Sportsnet Fantasy Show there and all that on Instagram at AndyMCSports. And guys, too, if you're looking for some unique one-of-one, not thousands, not this other stuff, one-of-one sports NFTs, go to ultimatesportsnfts.com and uffsports.com. So really cool stuff to check out.
Andy McNamara, I appreciate you, sir.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a great one. Winning time on the Open Run with Will Strickland. I want to thank my man, Andy McNamara. Andy Mac Attack in the place to be. He didn't go to St. John's University, but since kindergarten, he acquired the knowledge. And after 12th grade, he went straight to college.
And on that note, it is time for the news, views, and truths that you choose on the NBA and beyond here on The Open Run with Will Strickland. Thinking about what's going on right now in an interview that I saw just recently with Taylor Rooks from Bleacher Report with Candace Parker, the Hall of Famer Candace Parker. And they're talking about the relationship that she has with USA Basketball now. And somehow it seems University of Connecticut head coach Gino Auriemma, who likes to put, of course, his players on the team. And there was a little dirty business, a little fishiness, how he was moving with USA Basketball. In particular, how they treated Nneka Ogumike, who was the only WNBA MVP not to be selected to an Olympic team. After all she did in the qualifier and doing all these things, coming back from injury, then they leave her off the team. And that didn't sit well with Candace Parker, who was also not selected by Gino Auriemma. And to me, there seems like a bigger story here than just, as Candace said, I don't like him, he doesn't like me, I don't know what it is, but the process is flawed and there's something with Gino Auriemma. Maybe that's part of the reason why Dawn Staley stepped down as a coach for the U.S. senior women's national team because of the infighting. I don't know. But for some odd reason, it seems like this man is creating some degree of disruption in that whole program. If you have Hall of Famers and people who have contributed to the game in that way, who are you going to choose? Gino Auriemma is a Hall of Famer. So is Candace Parker. But should a man be over there telling these women what to do and moving in the way he's moving? Again, this could be relationships, it's friendships, I don't know. But there seems to be like there's more to this story than just a beef between Candace Parker and Gino Auriemma. I'm almost sure there's going to be more on this in the weeks and months to come. Potential future Olympian, AZ Fudd, the freshman at the University of Connecticut, in the footsteps of Paige Buckets coming in there, signing all kinds of NIL deals. She just signed with Steph Curry's SC30 line with Under Armour. So congratulations to her, even though she's suffering through a foot injury just recently. She's going to be out for a little bit. I guess her backcourt mate, Paige Beckers. Paige Buckets, who just signed with Gatorade, the first collegiate athlete to ever sign with Gatorade. Now everybody wants to be like Paige instead of being like Mike. In their recent game against Notre Dame, which they were winning easily, she suffered a non-contact injury. Looked like she just tripped over her own foot or maybe sprained her ankle. I don't know yet. There have not been results posted as yet. But Dawn Staley, the head coach of the University of South Carolina Gamecocks, the number one team in the nation, she sent out a tweet immediately after the injury saying that she would hope that one of the future transcendent players in the game is not seriously injured. You gotta love it. Support your own. And that's why I'm wondering about this whole Gino Auriemma thing, because even in his post-game comments about Paige Beckers, when people ask, well, you were up like 20, why would you still have her in the game with that much time left? He goes, I don't have an answer for that, but I know I don't like my team when she's not on the floor. Maybe it's a good thing these kids are signing NIL deals, because these guys don't care. As long as they get their wins, they don't care. You're going to milk these kids for what it's worth. And I'm not necessarily a fan of Gino Auriemma, so maybe I'm biased. So what? From our grand opening, grand closing files at the Open Run HQ, Duke recently crowned the number one team in the country, upset by Ohio State University. This past week, couldn't shoot in the second half. It was what it was. It happens when you get relaxed after you play a big game. You get a trap game, you come down, and that happened also to the number three Gonzaga Bulldogs, who somehow found themselves in a firing line against the Alabama Crimson Tide. I don't know if they were riding off the high of Alabama becoming the number one football team in the country again after waxing Georgia in the SEC title game, but they could not miss from three against Gonzaga, who have two guys who are definitely going in the first round of the draft in 2022, including presumptive player of the year, Drew Timmy, and also Chet Holmgren, who could arguably be the number one and number two pick in the 2022 NBA draft. And again, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. We're going to finish strong by continuing to talk about more college basketball, with Mark Turgeon being out after 10-plus years at the University of Maryland. Now, I don't know what's going on there, but he walked away immediately. And I know these guys started at a certain level. I think there's something in the locker room. Maybe the guys are tuning him out. He decided to step down. The 1988 most outstanding player of the NCAA tournament, Danny Manning from Kansas University, is now stepping in as the head coach there at Maryland. So shouts out to Danny Manning. And I want to send a shout out to my man, Penny Hardaway, and give him some support. There's a price to be paid for being famous and being a head coach in the town in which you were raised, where you play high school and college basketball, and you came home. The pressure is heavy. Larry Finch, former head coach there, went to the NCAA Finals, played against John Wooden's UCLA Bruins way back in the 70s. Larry Finch was a whole-time guy.
Larry Finch was one of the first black players to ever go on the campus of the University of Memphis, or at the time it's called Memphis State University. So Penny Hardaway, following those footsteps of a guy like Larry Finch, going there, he has these high visibility freshmen and Imani Bates, who could arguably be a top five pick in the draft, and all this preseason hype. And everybody was already telling him, oh, they're all hype. Well, they won the NIT, so they must be able to play. But for some odd reason, they earned the right to be ranked preseason. They fell into some, you don't know how these freshmen are going to play. And Penny Hardaway has been very vocal about how the locker room is so divided because the seniors, the older players, are jealous of the younger players, jealous of the opportunities, jealous of the NIL rules, jealous of maybe Penny Hardaway himself. And it's tough because you have an all-star lineup, not only in the bench, from a head coach and Penny Hardaway, from Hall of Famer Larry Brown, you know, the only man to ever win an NCAA and NBA championship as a coach, along with Rasheed Wallace, one of the key cogs in the second greatest upset in NBA Finals history when he played for the Detroit Pistons in 2004. Those guys are on the bench. I don't know what's happening there, what kind of level of communication it is, but people are saying, oh, Penny Hardaway, he coaches like an AAU coach. Why does an AAU coach coach? Out-talent your other teams, okay? Out-talent your other, I don't get that. But I get the veiled criticism. I understand it. You know, it's almost like saying, oh, he's so eloquent, so articulate for a black person. I get it. His team is losing a couple of games, and all of a sudden, he's an AAU coach. They only paid him because he played in the NBA. No, he was successful in the AAU circuit. He was successful last year as a college coach. Name five college coaches you know. They're not John Calipari or Mike Krzyzewski or someone like that, who've gotten a new job in the past 3 years, who won an NIT championship. I'll wait. Thank you. In other news, the U.S. senior men's national team, not represented by the guys who are actually going to go to the Olympics in Paris in 2024, but the fill-in guys. I mean, the coach is Jim Boylan. Ask yourself if you know anything about the NBA, what Jim Boylan did when he was in Chicago as a head coach there. Exactly. Led by Isaiah Jamar Thomas, still trying to get a shot back in the NBA. Team lost to the mighty basketball power that is Mexico in a World Cup qualifier. I don't believe that the U.S. is going to miss out on the World Cup, but losing to Mexico, well, its best player, Juan Toscano-Anderson, kind of tough. On the NBA side of things, the Portland Trailblazers fired President of Basketball Operations Neil O'Shea, who was guilty through an internal investigation of workplace malfeasance. Basically, intimidation and bullying, just making the workplace uncomfortable for everyone involved. The guy who drafted Damian Lillard out of Weber State no longer be with the franchise. Bunch of people jumping ship there, as I said a couple of weeks ago. CEO Chris McGowan left, probably part of that whole thing. There's a bunch of stuff going on in Portland. Hopefully they right the ship. Mr. Big Shot Chauncey Billups getting his first shot at being a head coach in the NBA. Having to deal with a lot of stuff out there, including trade rumors. It's rumored that Dame Lillard would love to play with Ben Simmons. At the expense of who? Well, contracts have to match. And one Christian James McCollum, his backcourt mate for years out there, might be on the move, along with draft picks and, you know, other pieces and parts like Nasir Little or guys on the bench that they'll probably waive when they get there to Philadelphia if they make that trade. Would we like that trade, Ben Simmons? He wanted to go to California. Maybe this is close enough. He's on the West Coast at the very least, and it's not Sacramento. Sometimes you got to take what you can get. Going back out east, Blake Griffin and Kemba Walker being told of professionals, been told by their coaches that they're out of the rotations right now. Even with the injuries, these guys are at the tail end of their careers, being very supportive both in Brooklyn and in New York. You know, a guy like Kemba Walker, everyone thought really excited in New York City about him coming back and playing for his hometown team. Blake Griffin played pretty well for Blake Griffin at this point of his career in the playoffs last year in Brooklyn. Definitely told us he wasn't cooked, as he tried to show us when he was in Detroit. I feel like he played Detroit, but that's just me. And now they have an opportunity to help their teams move on by being good teammates. Let's see how that works out in both cities and for both teams. In Milwaukee, with Brook Lopez being out indefinitely because of back surgery, DeMarcus Amir Cousins signed on to the world champion Milwaukee Bucks. What does Boogie have left? He cannot play for long periods of time on the court now in the new NBA. And it's funny, a guy so versatile for the injuries. Life can come at you fast, bro. It's a guy who was considered the best big man in the game. Now just trying to find a home and just play the game he loves. And now on to the Power 10, where we see the top two teams jumping back and forth. You know, if the Phoenix Suns had defeated the Golden State Warriors for the second time in 1 week, they would easily be the number one team on our Power 10. But the Golden State Warriors maintain that spot at number one, followed by Phoenix and the Suns starting a new streak, maybe. You never know. The Chicago Bulls, who went to Barclays Center and put together a very solid win after being down early against the Brooklyn Nets. Zach LaVine, Vucimane, Ayo Dosunmu, the kid from Illinois, looking great come off the bench for them, giving them a spark. But really, it was all about DeMar Darnell DeRozan. We talked about him earlier in the podcast. Going to talk about him again. He has his team at number three in our Power 10 this week. And number four, Brooklyn. The Brooklyn Nets. LaMarcus Aldridge playing very well after coming back from retirement. How long that lasts, we'll see. The Utah Jazz is crawling along in number five. And I think Utah Jazz are better when they're hunting as opposed to being the hunted. Nobody's going to really keep them on their radar. They're going to be ready for the playoffs. They have a veteran-savvy team. They have a defensive player of the year on their team. They have one of the most dynamic backcourt players in the game in Donovan Spider Mitchell. Mike Conley's going to be the key there. Can he stay healthy when they need him the most? The Milwaukee Bucks. And happy birthday to Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's 27, arguably the most accomplished 27-year-old in NBA history. I'll continue to say that. He's a Hall of Famer right now, which some people might find crazy, but when you do the math, do the knowledge, make sure you know Giannis is a Hall of Famer. That team, Milwaukee, number six in the Power 10 this week. Number seven, Miami. No Bam Adebayo, no problem. Jimmy Butler's coming back off an injury. Got Markieff Morris coming back. Tyler Hero, Kyle Lowry, some of the younger guys they have in the squad. Going to keep them afloat. That's a veteran squad made for the playoffs. You're going to see how that goes later on in the season. And the trade deadline, they're going to do something. I feel like they're going to do something to improve that roster. I don't know what Victor Oladipo is going to look like if and when he comes back. He's been injured for so long. I forget sometimes he's still in the league. But number seven, Miami Heat. And number eight, the Memphis Grizzlies. No Ja Morant, but it gives an opportunity for the returning Dylan Brooks to be a leader. And also, Jaren Jackson Jr., J3, who I had questions about. Had questions about his Valentine and testicular fortitude, but he's showing and improving right now with no Ja Morant in the lineup. He's taking over a leadership role, and they're playing pretty well. At number nine, the Washington Wizards, kind of coming back down to earth now, but still in the top 10. Wes Unseld Jr. doing a great job with the pieces he has there. The Los Angeles Lakers East and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell. I like what they have there in Washington. I'm surprised at what they're doing, but maybe I won't be toward the end of the season. And last but not least, the Charlotte Hornets, who without four of their players, including reigning rookie of the year, LaMelo de France Ball, out for COVID health and safety protocol, had an incredible game. Kelly Oubre is paying off in spades out there for them. Miles Bridges still playing like the most improved player in the NBA. Want to touch on one milestone in particular, Kevin Durant, who last week surpassed his idol, Allen Ezell Iverson, for 25th on the all-time scoring list of the NBA. Is now the 24th leading scorer in NBA history, surpassing Walter Ray Allen on that list. These guys have accomplished a great deal. And one of the most accomplished people in the game ever is one of Julius Wendell Irving II, easily my favorite player of all time. And in his book, I guess the story just popped up this week. I don't know why it popped up. But they talked about Dr. J and how braces created a child out of wedlock. Now, you have to follow me here because apparently Doc, who had a relationship with a beat reporter in Philadelphia, said in his book that when he was under stress and needed some place to unwind, he would go to this reporter's house and sometimes she would help him unwind with oral sex. But when she went to get braces in her mouth, he was like, nah, Doc's not about that life. And that's how his child came to be. Why did you tell that in the story, Doc? So Alexandra Stevenson, who was a tennis pro, she's on the women's tennis tour, now an analyst for tennis at ESPN, is the result of Doc's decision to not have oral sex in this one night. I don't know why they thought about that night. While he was out cheating, the artist formerly known as Ferdinand Luis Alcindor Jr. is saying that the game is being cheated, or the fans are being cheated by the way they play the game today. Instead of playing inside out and letting that work, there's no post play and everything is about the three-point shot. It sounds very get off my lawn, and I get it. Older guy, remembering how the game was played. And to be fair to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, if anyone can make this protestation, he's the man who won the most MVPs in league history, 6 NBA championships, leading scorer of all time, with the most devastating weapon in basketball history, the skyhook. If anyone can make that complaint, it's clearly him.
But we will never cheat the fans. We'll never cheat you. As you continue to listen to podcasts where basketball and life are one, it is The Open Run with Will Strickland. So do remember, do what's popular with the population. Make sure you don't get beat off the dribble. And keep listening. Rich Kid, my mellow, my man, it's basketball season. We're ready to do it in the holiday season as well. Do it how you do it, sir. Easy.